Welcome to the Dr. Ghoul Radio Program. Get ready for a chilling good time.
Welcome to the Dr. Ghoul Radio Show tonight. Two survivors in space, waiting helplessly for help. Enjoy this story. It is ghoulishly good.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
Hello? Hello? Is anyone there? Can anyone hear me? Anyone?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, thank God.
Well, don't thank him just yet. We're a long way from out of this.
Okay. I'm Erica Summers.
Max Dubinsky, Chief Steward, ESS Bellerophon.
Oh, you're part of the crew.
Miss, I'm the entire crew now.
Oh. But are you certain that we're the only survivors? I mean, I can see other people in the distance.
Any of them wearing spacesuits?
No.
Then it's just you and me. And it's a minor miracle we made it. So if you're gonna thank God for anything, thank him for that. Here in space, miracles of any sort, big or small, hard to come by.
What do you think went wrong? With the ship, I mean. Everything happened so fast.
Atomic bio breach. Not the first time it's happened to a Penelope-class starliner.
What?
Substandard shielding. Three accidents like this in the past 2 years.
You mean it was a known problem and it wasn't rectified?
Oh, it was rectified, all right. Only the company that did the rectifying was the same one that supplied the bad shielding in the first place.
What?
Lady, money talks. Grease the right palms with the right number of credits, and you could shield that reactor with rice paper for all they care.
Is that also the reason why the Bellerophon doesn't have lifeboats? Just these suits?
You got it.
That's horrible.
That's how we ended up floating in space in a pair of survival suits.
Speaking of floating in space, where are you? I can't pick you out of all the debris from the ship.
I can't see you either. Tell you what, wave your arms real wide, and I'll do the same.
Okay. Do you see me?
No, nothing yet. Wait a second. Yeah, I think that's you. Yeah, I see you.
I still don't see you, though.
That's because you have your back to me.
How do I turn around?
Don't worry about it.
Please, it's important.
Really, don't worry about it.
I'm not an experienced spaceman like you. This is my first time away from home. And I'm scared. But seeing you there will help.
Okay. Okay, I'll walk you through it. But pay attention, all right?
I will.
On the left forearm of your suit, you'll find a small panel. The main section is a readout that shows how much oxygen you have in your tanks and what the CO2 level is inside your suit. See it?
Yes.
Right next to it is a small toggle switch. It's under a plastic cover. You want to open that cover, but gently.
Okay, I have it.
That's your attitude control.
Attitude control? I could sure use that right now.
You and me both. I mean, it's used to adjust your orientation in space. There are micro thrusters on your shoulders and your boots. You turn the toggle in the direction you want to be facing, and your suit will figure it out from there.
Can I use it to move, too?
You can, but I wouldn't recommend it. The thrusters use oxygen from your suit tanks, so every move you make leaves you with less air.
But just turning around wouldn't use much, right?
No. Not much. Maybe 30 seconds?
Well, I think I can spare 30 seconds.
What if the rescue vessel's 30 seconds late?
I'll take that chance.
Hey, it's your funeral.
Okay, here goes nothing.
Just twist the toggle clockwise a half turn. Don't jerk it backwards or forwards at all. Got it?
Got it. There. I think that did it.
Yeah, looks like it. Can you see me now?
No, not yet.
Up and to your left. I'm waving.
There you are! I see you!
Good, good. You just passed your second class in Spacewalking 101.
My second? What was the first?
Getting into that survival suit and out the emergency airlock. If you'd have flunked that class, there wouldn't have been any others.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
So, is there a rescue ship on the way?
Oh, sure. Of course there is.
Really? Or are you just saying that?
No, there's definitely one on the way. Standard procedure for any spacer, from one-man scout to star dreadnought. As soon as the abandoned ship call is sounded, an omnidirectional distress signal is automatically broadcast on all frequencies. It's a foolproof system.
I just hope it wasn't built by the same people who made the atomic pile shielding.
Well, if it was, we may have a long wait before we can file a complaint.
How long do you think it will take for a rescue ship to arrive?
Why? You have a hot date or something?
And what if I do? I just mean, will it get here before our air runs out?
This is the most heavily traveled space lane in the system. It shouldn't be too long before an ore hauler or merchantman comes along.
But the ore haulers, they're fully automated ships, aren't they?
Yeah, but they have a basic crew quarters for just-in-case situations like, well, like this one. An ore hauler's programmed to answer a distress call same as a manned vessel, so no need to worry about that. Okay?
Okay. Wait a second. Are you drifting away?
Yeah. That's why I told you not to worry about being able to see me. We were propelled in opposite directions by the explosion. We'll drift out of sight of each other in another 20 minutes or so.
But will we at least be able to keep talking?
Oh, sure, sure. The suit radios have a range of at least 100 clicks. Even with all the static from the explosion, we shouldn't have any trouble keeping in touch until...
Until we get picked up, right?
Right.
How long have you been in the space service?
Since I was 17.
17? Is that even legal?
Legal? No. But the space service is always looking for warm bodies to fill the uniforms. And they figure that any kid signing up for a 10-year hitch probably isn't going to be missed too bad at home.
Is that how it was for you?
What? My folks not caring if I disappeared? Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. If I'd have stayed on Earth, I'd be in the same welfare district I grew up in. A dead-eyed zombie, glued to the vid screen and high on tranks. Now, I get to travel the stars. See sights most people can't even imagine. And I get paid to do it. Not a bad life.
Except for the parts where you end up marooned in space, that is.
Well, I try not to make a habit of that. And anyway, enough about me. What made you decide to come out and explore the farthest reaches of the Orion Arm?
Oh, I'm not out exploring. I'm just going to Proxima 3. My sister lives there, and her letters have painted such an amazing picture of life there that I had to go.
And your sister didn't steer you wrong. It's like Earth used to be, before we humans fouled it all up. You're not from Earth, are you?
No, Mars Colony.
I figured. You're way too well-spoken.
Thank you, I guess. Have you ever been to Mars?
You know, for as much knocking around explored space as I've done, that's one place I've never been. Too close to Mother Earth, I guess. What's it like?
Oh, it's beautiful in its way. You know how it is when you come from a place.
No, not really.
Oh. Well, I grew up in Argo City, near Nenadi Valis. The great mountains of Mars, Olympus Mons and the others, taller than Earth's highest peaks, are far to the west. It has a desolate sort of enchantment about it. Like the way the deserts of Earth used to be.
Doesn't sound so bad.
Of course, I had to admire most of it from afar. The terraforming is still incomplete, so we have to wear pressure gear when we go outside the dome.
So that's how you were able to get into that survival suit so quickly. Experience.
Yes, I guess so. Our suits, they have distress beacons in them too, don't they? I mean, the rescue ship will be able to find us, won't it?
Yeah. The suits have a built-in beacon that activates as soon as you lock the helmet seal.
But how do we know that it's working?
It's easy to check. Go back to that little readout panel on your left forearm, just below your O2 indicator. You see which one that is, right?
Yes.
Just below that is a control knob with a plastic cover on it. That's your radio channel selector. Unclip the plastic cover.
Okay, I see it.
Turn it 2 clicks counterclockwise. That will switch your receiver over to your suit distress beacon. You'll hear a steady beeping sound.
Okay.
But once you've satisfied your curiosity, turn the switch back 2 clicks clockwise. Otherwise, you'll miss out on all my witty repartee.
I couldn't have that now, could I? All right. I'm switching it now. Well, I'm back.
Welcome. Did you hear your beacon?
Yes. In fact, I think I heard yours, too.
Good to know.
So, what sort of range do the suit beacons have?
About the same as the suit radios. 100 kilometers, give or take.
Even with the static?
Even with the static.
Will that be enough?
Should be. Any rescue ship will proceed to the coordinates sent out with the Bellerophon distress call. We're drifting away from those coordinates, but we won't drift 100 clicks away. At least, we won't before we run out of,
Before we run out of time? Air?
Same difference.
You've almost completely disappeared from sight now. You're barely more than a dot on the
horizon? Sorry. Don't have those in space. That's strictly a planetary phenomenon.
Well, what about the event horizon around a black hole?
Event horizon? Yeah, you definitely didn't go to school on Earth. Anyway, if we find ourselves being drawn into a black hole, we'll know we're in real trouble.
Yeah, not like now. Max, I'm really scared.
Look, just hang in there. Me too, miss.
You? Really?
You think this is a typical day in the life for me, either?
But you're an experienced spaceman.
Spaceman? I'm a steward. I take care of the passengers' needs, bring their meals. I've never even been out in one of these survival suits before.
But you know how everything works.
That's only because the skipper did weekly efficiency drills. So sure, I know how to put the suit on and what buttons to push. That's it. All the rest.
What? What are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to say, miss, is that I don't know a darn thing other than we're marooned.
So, there's no rescue ship coming.
How would I know? Do you think the captain comes up to me and says, Dubinsky, time to get those happy hour drink orders. Oh, and can you double check these navigational coordinates for me? I don't know. I truly don't.
Then what would your best guess be?
My best guess. If we were in a planetary system, I'd say pretty good. Most systems have a lot of space traffic, and they're also patrolled pretty regularly by astral watch ships. But here...
I understand. You're all but out of sight now. Just a fleeting dot on the non-horizon.
As fleeting as any hope we might have.
Sounds like you need to use your attitude control. Look, we're still alive.
For now?
And as long as we are, there's hope.
You're not going to be feeling so hopeful when you're struggling for each breath as your oxygen runs out and carbon dioxide builds up in your suit. It's not like they show in the vids where you just quietly fall asleep and never wake up. It's a horrible way to die.
I know it is. I had a friend who went for a hike by herself, which you're never supposed to do. Got lost and ran out of air. The look on her face when we finally found her body...
And that's gonna happen to us! Better to open our faceplates now and have it be over in seconds.
No!
Why not? Ah, are you afraid to die?
What? That doesn't even make any sense.
What do you mean it doesn't make any sense?
According to you, we're dead either way. So what does it matter?
You're just afraid to end it quickly because you're holding on to that little shred of hope that a ship will pick us up.
Is holding on to hope such a terrible thing? Why are you in such a hurry to end it?
Because right now, we're just postponing the inevitable.
You asked me if I'm afraid to die. Of course I am. So are you. But even if we let go of hope, there's something else we should hold on to.
And what's that?
Grace. If we're going to die, then we're going to die. We don't have any control over that. But we can control how we face it. So let's try to face it with a little bit of grace. What do you say?
I don't know if I can.
Why not?
Because... it isn't just that I'm afraid to die. It's that...
Go ahead. It's not like I'm going to be telling anyone.
It's that... It's that... I'm afraid to die... alone. I feel like I've been alone all my life. And to die alone?
But you're not alone. I'll stay on the radio with you right to the end. Whatever that end may be.
I know. And thank you. But it's not the same. And anyway, you're probably going to run out of air before I do. Huh. Here I am. Knowing that you'll die before I do, and all I can think of is how it'll affect me. Oh yeah, that's me, all right. Max Stavinsky, pride of the Earth Space Service. See? You're so disgusted with my behavior that you're left speechless. Now look, if you're going to give me the cold shoulder, I'll just have to talk to somebody else. Miss Summers? Miss Summers, are you there? Miss Summers! Erica!
It's about time you called me by my first name.
Erica! But how? Oh, no. You didn't. Your oxygen indicator. Your tank's empty. Why?
I didn't want you to die alone.
But... wait.
What are you doing? Wait, that's your oxygen line.
You mean our oxygen line. We're both drawing from my tanks now.
But...
hey, you said I wasn't going to die alone.
Max, will you tell me about your first day in the space service?
So, you want to hear about the first day while you witnessed the last one?
It's appropriate, right? No, just wanted to hear about it is all. It was the start of a great adventure, right?
Oh, but it was also very nearly the end of my great adventure.
Really? How so?
Well, let's just say that trying to pick up the Commandant's daughter is not the way to make a good first impression.
But at least you made some sort of impression.
Oh, that I did. Enough to draw 30 days of KP duty.
No. I'm amazed you wanted anything to do with food service after that.
Didn't have a choice. Which reminds me of a story.
So Ends Lifeline by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense was produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was written especially for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tori Ernst was Erica Summers and Talon Beeson was Max Dubinsky. I'm your host, Damon Krall. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
EFG Shirts is a one-stop shop for not only apparel screened or embroidered, but pens, calendars, coffee mugs, banners of any size, hats, and any other swag needs that you might have. So call 650-678-1020 and ask for Wayne, or go online and find us at efgshirts.com. For all of your promotional needs.
Tonight's Dr. Ghoul radio program has been brought to you in part by John Allenson's Farmers Insurance Agency. He and his staff would like to help you with all your insurance needs. Being a broker himself, he has diverse umbrella packages that is personally in tune with your needs. Call them at 800 462-5067 or visit their website at AllensonInsurance.com. That's John Allenson's Farmers Insurance Agency. Thank you.
So how would you feel trapped in space and the fear of death looming? Until next week, may all your dreams be nightmares.